Horror Stories Podcast.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories Podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. Today is Sunday, and Sunday is when I take a break and let you take over the podcast with the weekly challenge. It's week 244, and the topic is Make a Run for It. We've got a few stories in this week, so let's go ahead and get going. The first story is by a new person, Dave. And I wonder what Dave has for us. I'm just going to look through here and looks like he didn't include a sound file, so I'm going to go ahead and hand this to the midget to read. So, Dave, here's your story.
James and Dennis were putting the finishing touches on their system of firecrackers and cherry bombs, packed into the dirt beneath the arrangement of plastic army men. James's older brother decided to have some fun of his own and lit the fuse while the boys weren't looking. Suddenly, noticing the lit fuse, they bolted out of the yard and behind the fence. Silence. "Out you go, Brownie," their mom said as she let the dog out. Of course, his nose sent him directly to the firecrackers. "Here, Brownie," they called. But it was of no use.
Thank you, Dave. And just remember, how do you make a dog go woof? You pour gasoline on him, toss on a match, and woof! Oh, sorry. Oh, man. By the way, if you couldn't understand the midget in that one, the text for the stories goes up at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, plus you're able to vote for your favorites, and also rate each story, or at least each episode. I guess if all the stories are good, you can say it's 5. If I do a crappy job of editing, you could say it sucks. You know, go right on ahead. It lets me know what kind of stories I should be writing and posting and reading and how I should be reading. And comments help, too. You know, it doesn't take that long to comment, I think. But if it does, really, just write a comment and say it takes too long to comment. Because it takes, whatever. You're all busy with Christmas. I know, Christmas lasts 2 months. Okay, I'll stop begging for comments and give you this story by Zach Man. How about that, huh? Would you like this one under the tree? Would you like this one in the tree as an ornament? Would you like to use this as a tree? What kind of tree would you be?
Since the newspaper headline is Last Print Edition Ever Due to Bankruptcy, are there any stories you want to run but didn't for fear of losing your job or ad revenue? Well, there was a letter from someone who called himself The Punisher, postmarked Inglewood, Colorado. It had more puns than a Xanth novel. He had asked a couple times if the newspaper would run a feature he called The Punishment. After we said no, he sent a really bad The Punishment as a joke featuring a pun about electing a blackberry. Make our last run with that.
So what, are they doing an all-online edition now? I don't know. Oh, thank you, Zach Man, and Merry Christmas to you. Next up is Steven the Nuclear Man. And I was told he's got a call for flash fiction. Here we go, I'm going to read this. If everything seems under control, you're just not going fast enough. Mario Andretti. And even though I've drugged my feet over this, it still feels fast, but it's well past time for this. I want to invite you, yes you, to submit for a paying market for flash fiction. Got an idea for flash fiction? Want to feature a short vignette with your characters in another series? Fight imaginable evil in a loosely sharded world universe? Of course you do. And they're currently seeking flash fiction for a digital anthology to be edited by Paul... Okay, Janice? Yeah, he's the business guy. So, Stephen the Nuclear Man is the business guy in this. Call for submissions is already up on Duotrope. The link is up in the show notes. So here you go. That's the big story. That's the... As you sup that eggnog in open presence, give this thought, because the reading period ends February 15th, 2011. So they got their mission up. They got everything up. Dude, give it a try. I'm going to look at it right now, although my stuff sucks. So that's why I do these weekly challenges. So at least once a week, there's some good writing. And by the way, speaking of good writing, here is Steven the Nuclear Man.
Today's story is rated PG, but it's also rated Rule 34. You think he's watching? I put my hand on Mrs. Claus's arm as she shakes her head. Her lips run over the elfin point of my ear. Of course not. He watches the human children. You are neither human, her hand runs down my body, nor child. I fumble with the buttons on her blouse. She slides me out of the green jumper. We explore each other's bodies as 24 hours pass like one. Which means he pulls up while we're still naked. I try to run, but damn if my socks don't keep filling up with coal.
Ho, ho, ho!
Merry Christmas to you and your, elf porn. Oh, yeah, I'm back. Oh, thank you, Stephen. And remember, go to the link that's in the show notes to learn about a new Flash Fiction thing. It pays. Unlike this thing that I do, which doesn't pay, because, well, I'm cheap. Next up is TJ. Now, remember, he's from North Dakota, and up there in North Dakota, it's so cold, they go to the North Pole to warm up. Think about that. Okay, enough of my North Dakota jokes, or slams, or insults. I probably will get from the Caliphate of North Dakota a fatwa on my head. At which point they'll throw snowballs at me. Okay, here's TJ.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, wishing you all a wonderful 2011, and this is Happy Holidays. The tacky holiday sweater contest is a bad idea, especially when you're as competitive as we are. We all took a run at it, and the office became an explosion of glitter, tinsel, garland, blinking lights, and jingle bells. They got us together for the judging, and it's like Christmas threw up on us. I dressed as Rudolph with jingle bell antlers and a blinking red nose, but we all lost to Carl, who wore a damn Christmas tree. Later, he confessed he just hit the nog too hard, tripped over a tree in the lobby, and couldn't escape it.
Best costume ever. Speaking of unable to escape from the tree, man, the other day, Mist had climbed up inside of it, and, you know, he's, like, poking out. It's like, how do I get out of here? Which way? It's like, down. You get, so they keep going up and up and up, and now you gotta rescue them. Otherwise, they wiggle around, and they bring the whole damn tree down. Thank you, TJ. Next up is the return of the long-lost guy, David. He's back. And he also told me to plug Fix Waffle, so, like, if you've got a broken waffle, you can fix it. I'm pretty sure it's something else. I should probably go to that site. While you listen to this story, I'm just going to, you know, go and check it out. So welcome back, Guy, and here's your story.
Hey! I have a new project, and it's one you can also be a part of. You like writing, don't you? Then head on over to fixwaffle.com, where I've set up an idea for a story called Fix Waffle World. I want the story to be a collaborative effort of as many people as possible, so I've set it up as a wiki, one you can edit. You don't even have to log in. You can just go and start editing. though by logging in you add your signature to the history of the page you're editing and get your name immortalized for prosperity. Anyway, go over to fixwaffle.com and start telling the story of Fixwaffle World. Spread the word around. Tell everyone about Fixwaffle World. Help the story grow. The link is in the show notes. Anyway, I babbled long enough. Here is my story for today, and I even have a guest reader. Can you guess who it is? So I just stood there staring as this guy started shouting right before lunch break.
They are going to turn us into mindless zombies and promote us,
or something like that. That guy really lost it.
Please don't do that voice.
Sorry. Anyway, how was your day?
Arms everywhere.
No kidding. Did you make a run for it?
I wasn't trained for this.
No one ever is, I guess.
I don't know what the point of this is.
It's an exercise in meaningless chatter.
It's all my fault.
Look, I have an extra belly button.
That's between you and the monkeys. Cool. Man, the scary thing is, I'm wondering where I said each and every one of those crazy things. I know that for the past 5.5 years, I've said some really, really, really weird things. But you know what? Dude, the scary part is there are people actually listening and figuring out, oh, I can do this with this. And if it's like magnetic poetry on some really bad drugs. Wow. Cool. Thank you, Guy David. That's the best Christmas present ever. And don't let my wife and sister and relatives know that I said that. They will be like, oh, all we had to do was just listen to all your crap and rearrange it and play it back for you, you egomaniacal. Thank you, Guy. Next up is Tom. Now, Tom has been doing stories during the week, catching up on old weekly challenges, but that doesn't mean that he isn't ready to rise for the new challenges of the day. So here we go with a story by Tom, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called Make a Run for It. I grabbed Sue Ann and sprinted past the cosmetics. As she spun away, she laid a fist to my ribcage. Bite me, Wendell, she spat. No, but they will. Without missing a stride, Susie leveled the shotgun behind her and took out 2 Z-Mart associates. Since major retail chains started hiring zombies, shopping is an adventure. Rounding the Oral-B kiosk, she hacked the ends off a dozen toothbrushes with a machete. Out of housewares, 3 associates clawed at her. She pounded a brush into 2 foreheads, rolled forward, backhanded a 3rd zombie. Bitch clowns, eat Oral.
Bringing back all the catchphrases, are we? Cool. Thanks, Tom. And I guess I shouldn't go shopping if they're going to be having zombies out there. And by the way, I'm not supposed to say clown bitches need Oral at work anymore. Apparently now the thought police have taken over. So I will probably be coming up with all sorts of ways of expressing it, because it really has no meaning anymore there. Oh well, how long before I get to? You think they're even going to let me try sales there, or I have to walk into this other job somewhere else? Oh well, it was kind of nice in a way when it didn't suck. Whatever. Merry Christmas, huh? Thank you, Tom. And let's. Hey, let's.
this is a weird one. Now, my sister and my wife came up with a story while I was sleeping last night. Yeah, I conked out at 10, and those two stay up real late. So, actually, my sister pretty much, you know, comes to visit my wife and not me, because she wakes up like groggy and stuff. So, here's the story that they wrote, as read by a midget.
Fake fire, fake tree, fake cat. Real beer, real whiskey, real smokes, real good. Trust me. I'm sitting between a fake fireplace, television playing a fire inside a real fireplace, and a Christmas tree made of plastic, donning lights and crystalline ornaments. The fake cat is asleep next to me. I watch its smooth, even, battery-powered breaths. So we are sitting here watching Christmas on TV. She's got beer, real beer. Me, whiskey, also real. We are sitting here laughing about how wonderful it feels to be sitting here between a fake tree and a fake fire holding a fake cat. Thank God for real whiskey, real beer, and real smokes.
And I guess that explains why the Jack Daniel's bottle is empty. You know, how the hell am I going to get started in the day without my coffee? Thank you guys. And Merry Christmas to you both, and thank you for not killing me in my sleep. good night, I'll kill you in your sleep. Whatever. No, they don't really say that. They just think it. We have a few more stories here for the weekly challenge. Let's keep going with Norval Joe, otherwise known as Philip Carroll of Flying Island Press.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 244, with the prompt of Make a Run for It. It's Christmas night, and I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, or whatever various holidays everyone celebrates. Here's my story. The examiner scowled at the graduate student. Peter, you claim you weren't able to collect all the data for your master's thesis. Yes, sir, Peter said. A perpetually baffled expression furrowed his brow. I trapped 12 red squirrels and took blood samples from each. I tested each sample for the gray squirrel pox virus. I gave each squirrel a pencil and a questionnaire to fill out. 3 ate their pencils, 8 made a run for it and escaped, and only 1 completed the questionnaire. Will this affect my final grade? Peter asked. No, the examiner smiled sadly. I don't think so. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Merry Christmas, Norval Joe, otherwise known as Philip Carroll. You know, Santa was going to have 8 tiny flying islands pulling the sleigh, but it turned out that was just too crazy. How do you whip an island? And then he was going to have the reindeer pull a flying island, but the island was far too big. It just, you know how crazy it gets this time of year. Just stick with the sleigh, stick with the reindeer, whatever, you know? I know the vet bills are huge. Just deal with it, okay? One last story for this week. It's by Planet Z. Let's hear what craziness he has for you.
Christmas behind barbed wire. Restricted to our barracks. Almost all the prison camp guards are in the guardhouse, drinking and singing and exchanging presents. Presents we made for them, as they held guns to the backs of our heads. The 2 guards that are here, we approach them and offer our own gifts. They think it's a trap and point their guns at us. No, we say, it's Christmas. Enjoy. They put down their guns, unwrap the gifts, and we attack them as quietly as possible. No alarms. Nobody at the wall. Make a break for it, elves. We're free!
And that's it for 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge 244. Make a run for it. The last weekly challenge of 2010.
10. I want to congratulate everyone who has been a part of the weekly challenge this year. And I want to thank you for making it possible, because without you, there is no weekly challenge. There's just, well, I guess it would just be Planet Z, and his stories kind of suck, really. So, really, my hat's off to you, and a happy new year to all of you, and should old acquaintances not be forgot. I hope that those of you who have taken a break from the weekly challenge, or even taken a break from writing, come back to it, and write, either here, or at the thing that Stephen talked about, or at Fix Waffle, for Guy David, or any number of sites out there, Flying Island Press. Write, express yourself, explore your imagination, see what's out there. Maybe you might not want to see what's in there, but it gets it out there so that others can point at it and say, this is you. This is the you that I'm not sure I want to know. And then they take your ring off your finger while you're asleep, and they tell you that you lost it while... Well, you lost weight, and you lost it while walking to the grocery store. But you tell people you lost it while going to the grocery store, but in the back of your mind, you know better. You know it's over. You see, that's the kind of thing that writing lets you explore, and your imagination can get the best of you. And so, why not exploit it for artistic purposes? Anyway. The site is located at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. In case somebody had put this on a memory stick and handed it to you and said, you've got to listen to this. Although the likelihood of that is zero, because people hand out and leave memory sticks sitting around with viruses and horrible things on them. And, oh, wait. Yeah, that kind of... Oh, you can also read the text of the stories up at that site. You can rate each story and episode. You can vote for your favorites. You can click links looking for other places to go besides this one. You've got a New Year's resolution, don't you? I hope it is to write a story for the weekly challenge. All of those of you who are listening but don't think you can do it, these people can do it, I can do it, and so can you. I hope to see you next year here in the Weekly Challenge. Until then, thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief. Closing.